After years of saying that his position on same-sex marriage was evolving, President Obama, as you may know, announced for the first time yesterday that he supports full gay marriage rights.
I was sensitive to the fact that for a lot of people, you know, the word marriage was something that evokes very powerful traditions, religious beliefs, and so forth.
The president's announcement doesn't change anything legally. Rights to gay marriage are the same today as they were yesterday. But it is a symbolic moment. And to a certain extent, it's symbolic because the president seems to be equating the right to marry with a civil right. Joining us this morning are two people who are on very different sides of the gay marriage debate, but they both believe gay rights are not similar to the civil rights movement. Dr. Patrick Wooden, pastor at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina, supported North Carolina's Amendment 1, which won a popular vote in the state on Tuesday and banned gay marriage in the state's constitution. Patrick, thank you for joining us.
I'm honored to be on. Thank you for having me.
And also with us, Ann Pellegrini, an associate professor of religious studies and director of the Center for the Study of Gender and Sexuality at New York University, also author of Love the Sin, Sexual Regulation, and the Limits of Religious Tolerance. Ann, nice to talk to you.
It's a pleasure, Celeste.
Dr. Patrick Wooden, let me begin with you. You're in North Carolina. Obviously, it's been the center of the gay marriage debate, at least this week. It was garnering all the attention until President Obama's announcement yesterday. You
right.
supported Amendment 1, and let's talk about that exactly. Why do you think that the right to marry is not a civil right?
Because marriage has been defined in at least the last 5,000 years of human history. The words mean something, and the definition of marriage has always been defined as a union between one man and one woman. As a matter of fact, it was not Amendment 1. Actually, it was called the Marriage Amendment. Our opponents called it Amendment 1 because it was difficult for them. A study group showed that they couldn't get people to vote against marriage, so they kind of nicknamed it. But marriage is a union between a man and a woman, and people who think as I do, we just simply believe that particular union should not be redefined so as to include other couples, because once you redefine marriage, what are the polygamists going to say, or the person who wants to marry his daughter, or even the objectionists? There are people in the movement called objectionism. A lady wants to marry the Empire State Building. That can't be a marriage.
Well, we don't want to draw a comparison between a homosexual couple marrying and a woman marrying a building. But I do want to play you this comment from Julian Bond, who is a civil rights leader and former head of the NAACP. And there have been a lot of comparisons between the gay rights movement and the right to make interracial marriage legal in this country, because for a very long time, interracial marriage was described as unnatural, and it was certainly illegal. Take a listen to Julian here.
If they knew that throughout the history of the black struggle for civil rights, black and white and Asian and Latino gay people and lesbians participated and sacrificed alongside their black brothers and sisters, I think they'd feel differently about it. We don't have a patent on rights in this country. Black people don't have a patent on fighting for civil rights.
So, Pastor, can you at least understand the effort of gay people in the United States to try and earn this right?
I understand it. I just don't agree with it. It is true that this country was against interracial marriages, but there is precedence for interracial marriages. The blessings of fecundity extend to interracial marriages. And being a Christian, throughout the Bible, our leaders married interracially. Moses married an Ethiopian woman. Even when the God of the Bible gave prohibitions to Israel, warned Israel against marrying interracially, it wasn't a matter of race. It was a matter of religion. The concern was that they would be pulled away from him and would serve other gods. I think that it is a beautiful thing for people to come together interracially, but in order for society to function as it's supposed to, there have to be a man and a woman if we're going to not redefine marriage.
All right. Although, Pastor, just to to push back on you a little bit here. The Bible also seems to support polygamy, with one person in the Bible having 700 marriages.
Yes, and you're right, and that was remedied, and the Bible says that God in the beginning did not design it so. You are exactly correct.
Okay.
And in the New Testament, it was well established that let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. You
All
are
right.
correct.
Let me go here to Ann Pellegrini, Associate Professor of Religious Studies and Director of the Center for the Study of Gender and Sexuality at New York University. Ann, you actually support gay marriage. I take it you were pleased by the president's announcement yesterday, but why then do you not equate marriage rights with civil rights?
Well, I should clarify. I do think that equal marriage rights are a civil right, but my caution or my skepticism is that I'm very concerned about the ways in which some arguments for gay equality or gay marriage rights equate themselves to the African-American civil rights struggle as if racial identity and sexual identity are the same thing. I mean, so that you'll find, for example, some advocates of gay and lesbian civil equality or marriage rights sort of saying that, you know, homosexuality is like race. So my concern is with a kind of analogy that denies the very important differences in the ways in which historically in this country discrimination against African Americans has been organized very differently than discrimination against sexual minorities like gay people.
What difference are you talking about? Do you mean because an African American is easily identified? Is that what makes it different?
Actually, no, because of course, if you think about the very famous Supreme Court case Plessy v. Ferguson, right? That was one of the moments when the court declared in 1896 that, you know, basically separate was equal, and it was based upon the case of an African American man who could pass as white, and the idea was, well, just because you can pass as white doesn't make you white. So, I mean, you know, what race looks like, how we identify race has changed historically. The taxonomy of race is different. So it's not that gayness somehow isn't seen, whereas racial difference and blackness is seeable. It's more about actually the social, the structural organization of discrimination against African Americans. They have a very different history. We had Jim Crow laws. There was slavery. This kind of organization of oppression of LGBT people have taken different forms. So I think, and that's an important history to remember, but I do think of movement for gay marriage as a civil rights issue insofar as through marriage, this country gives more than 1,000 federal benefits. Add to that another roughly 400 state benefits that marriage confers on individuals by virtue of the civil contract of marriage. And marriage, it's important to remember, is a civil contract. We farm it out to or outsource it to religious ministries to conduct marriage quite frequently. But marriage is actually a civil contract made via the state. To the extent that the state is going to provide this host, I mean, more than 1,000 benefits, lesbian and gay couples should have access to this benefit
right.
on the same basis. That's an equal right. That's an equal protection argument.
Yeah, that's Ann Pellegrini of NYU. Let me go back to you, Dr. Patrick Wooden, at the Upper Room Church of God of Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. You know, many people, I think, equate the black civil rights movement with the gay rights movement because they want African Americans to understand their passion to gain the right to marry. I think mm-hmm. that partially that they're just trying to make a comparison so that people can come in, put themselves in another person's shoes.
Yes, and I understand that. And by the way, I will mention that marriage was the property of the church before the state ever got involved in it. But it is not the same. Being African American, being born a particular color, is a matter of birth. And there are no innate downsides to how an individual is born with regard to race. I think that medical evidence is overwhelmingly clear with regard to even the destructive nature on the human body to men, for men who have sex with men. It's not the same as, quote, being black, end of quote. So I do not equate the struggle, and I'm not saying I don't understand it. I just don't agree with it. I do not believe that marriage should be redefined as a man of the cloth. Whether people agree with the Bible or not, people may think that the Bible is a book of fairy tales, or just a crazy book. But if you read it, one thing everyone has to agree upon, that the intention of the God of the Bible is, and the teaching of the Bible is, that marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, whether you submit to biblical authority or not, that's another discussion. I do. And for those who do, you have to come down on the side of the explicit teachings of the Bible.
Right. Dr. Patrick Wooden, pastor at the Upper Room Church of God of Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina, supported North Carolina's Amendment 1, which banned same-sex marriage in the Constitution, and Anne Pellegrini, Associate Professor of Religious Studies and Director of the Center for the Study of Gender and Sexuality at New York University, also author of Love the Sin, Sexual Regulation, and the Limits of Religious Tolerance. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you for having me.
More on this story at thetakeaway.org, and you can weigh in. Go to 877-8-MY-TAKE and tell us your view. Is this a principled decision on the part of the president or political pragmatism? I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.